C1B3.
Number 2B.
Now you can take your epitomes that we have, and we follow those epitomes on page 9. Having said that the first 8 points have that overall tone of the creative life and the only life, we now want to see how she now depicts this word of life from the point of view of the word, and from the point of view with a touch of the Christ, then with a touch of Christianity, and then with a touch of science. We go out from the word as the word. So these comprise the first 2 paragraphs, or 2 points. And I've tried to epitomize it like this, that God is declared through the revelation of mind. Now, how did I arrive at this epitome? It is a summary of the sub-epitomes of point 1 and 2. And so we take first the word as a word in point 1, always first from the standpoint of divine science. Always the first of the 2 depict the level of divine science, and the second one the level of absolute Christian science. What does she state here as the beginning of the whole platform, so to say, as the cornerstone of the whole platform, the cornerstone of the science of divine science? Here she says that God is infinite. You begin to see she goes out from the infinite God, and that God is the only life there is. So here she does not say that God is truth and love. She puts the accent on life. That is really the life, the substance of the universe. But then she asks, more or less, can we not discern God through the material senses? You can see she has now to explain that any other standpoint but the standpoint of God itself is not right. If we would try to understand God from a human standpoint through the material senses, that we can never discern God nor the perfect man. So that it is absolutely hopeless to try to go out from any human standpoint, from the human senses and the testimony of the material senses, to get any conclusion about God and his universe. Therefore, she will have to ask, well, if the material sense or the material standpoint doesn't reveal anything, what then on earth does reveal something to us? You see, the word of the word is always what does reveal. The word is the statement, the self-declaration of God himself. How can God declare himself? Not through the material senses. So she says it can only explain itself through the revelations of divine science. So here we have typically the word as the word, namely the self-declaration of the word through its own nature, through the revelation of its own nature. And this gives us, naturally, the standpoint of divine science, showing that only that which is within the Word is actually able to explain the Word, that nothing outside, you see, divine science is all-inclusiveness of being, that nothing from outside can explain the one life and its creation. So, therefore, we have epitomize this point 1, that the individuality of the one infinite life can only be known through the revelation of divine science. So we have gained one big point to start out and see that the word will only explain itself through revelation. But how can revelation come to us? At the moment you ask how can it come to us, you have naturally a question that is on the level of absolute Christian science, because we have seen absolute Christian science answers all those questions which have to do with the relationship of God to man, or principle to idea. And here she explains now that revelation is coming to us through mind. Because God is mind, it really can interpret itself through the mind that is God. The reasoning here is that she first goes out again from the deific definitions that the Scripture declare what God is, namely that God is life, truth, and love, but that that principle of life, truth, and love is actually spirit, and that spirit, because spirit has only one nature, not the dualistic nature, is mind, capital M. And so she says, mind is not both good and bad, for God is mind, and there is one God only, so that in reality there is only one mind. So we can see that the second point, our epitome, would state that the one God, which is life, truth, and love, naturally, is declaring himself to us through the one mind. Can you see that now we have a possibility of translating the revelation of divine signs to man, because man can have that mind which is God. And that mind is only good and not good and evil. There's only one nature, and therefore we will be able in this way to understand the revelation of God. So that both together would show us as the Word as the Word, what we have there as the epitome, Word as the Word, that God declares himself through the revelations of mind. And this is a terrific standpoint to go out, so that we leave out all human conjecture, that we don't try to find out humanly how we can declare God and find God and so on, but that we can see that we have to go out from divine signs, from the Word of life, and that Word of life says, I reveal myself constantly, and I reveal myself constantly through that mind, which is the mind of God and the mind of man, and therefore through mind I will declare myself. So we have that standpoint of the Word as the Word. Now we go to the next reflection of the Word, namely the Word as the Christ. Now, we should even be able, more or less, to define to ourselves what Mrs. Eddy must have to say here, what she must declare, if she follows really the system of the system, namely, what is the Word in its aspect of the Christ, when it reflects the Christ. And we have seen, what is the Christ? We have seen the Christ is the manifestation, the expression of the Word. So we can ask ourselves, how does that creative Word, how does that one life, that creative Word express itself? And so we come to points 3 and 4, which together would, can be epitomized that God expresses himself. See, now you have God, really the Word, in its aspect of the Christ, expresses himself. That's the Christ. He has an expression, a manifestation, as an unlimited creation of good only. So that we see that that life has an expression, but that that expression can only be good, that it can only be a creative aspect that is congruent with the source, that is the same as the source. How does she explain that from the point of view of divine science? Again, we say, what is divine science? We said divine science is that level of consciousness which deals with the oneness of being, and where we have said evil is excluded, where we do not argue with evil, but evil is excluded. And you have right away here the side note, evil obsolete, evil obsolete. You see, it doesn't say that we should overcome evil or anything like that, but the question of evil is obsolete. Because if you have studied the book on the levels of or the four levels, you know that when she is dealing with evil at the point of divine science, then she shows that the question of evil does not enter, and that actually at that point the question of duality not even arises. Why doesn't it arise? If we stick to our standpoint of God's spirit, and spirit is too pure to behold evil, the question of duality not even arises. And that's the point we have to see. So here she shows under point 3, what I have epitomized, that evil is not mind, with a small m. It is actually nothing, obsolete. See, it's a question that we not even should raise. It's a false question at that point to ask what is evil. The question of evil is obsolete. She says here that the notion that both evil and good are real is just a delusion. So she doesn't explain evil away. She doesn't explain how to overcome evil. She just says it's a delusion and it's obsolete. And therefore, science annihilates this delusion. And therefore, she says, evil is what? You see, evil is nothing, nothing, no mind, no power. It's just a lie and nothing claiming to be something. So the accent here on evil is its nothingness. And this is interesting to see because you remember perhaps from the Level books, there we have seen that Mrs. Eddy really deals with the question of evil completely differently. If she deals with it from the level of science or from the level of divine science or absolute Christian science and Christian science, she deals with the question of evil absolutely differently. She has not just one answer in the textbook for evil. For instance, when she deals with the question of evil from the point of view of God, there she would just deal with evil and say, evil is unknown. God doesn't know anything about it. If she deals with it from the standpoint of divine science, she will deal with evil and say, well, evil, like here, is obsolete, is absolutely excluded. I don't have really to argue with the whole question of evil. But when she is dealing with the question of evil on the level of absolute Christian science, then she begins to explain why evil is nothing. Then she begins to show that it is a false belief. Now she shows and says, I now explain you why you think there is evil, and I explain it as a false belief. But when she comes to the level of Christian science, which takes up most of the textbook, then she doesn't just say, well, evil is obsolete, evil is unknown, evil is just a belief. No, then she goes and says, you have to handle that evil with good. You have to overcome evil by good. You have to overcome evil through the ascendancy of good. She deals as if evil would be something and therefore has to be overcome because it seems to be something for the human mind, and therefore it has to be overcome in the human mind, and the way it has to be overcome in the human mind, she will say that you have to overcome it. So can you see, we must always be aware when a question is asked and we try to answer it that we are thinking out from which level we are going to answer it, because the answers that are given on each level are absolutely different, but they do not contradict themselves, because they are answers from various levels, from various altitudes of consciousness. So here, because we are here on the level of divine science, we see that she deals with evil as she has to do on divine science, as being obsolete. So we, in our consciousness, you see, we said, let's keep that altitude of thought and keep that standpoint of the one spirit that is life, and that life declares itself the Word as the Word and expresses itself as the Word as the Christ, expresses itself in good only, where the question of evil, the question of duality, not evil even comes up. It is excluded, it's obsolete. Then she goes to point four and shows that whole question of the Word expressing itself as the Christ on the level of absolute Christian science. And there we have seen absolute Christian science is that level where we consider the relationship of Creator and creation. And so here we have that life, that's my epitome, life is mind, the Creator reflected, not absorbed, in his creation. So can you see that expressing sense, the Christ sense, life expressing itself now as the Creator. The Creator is a sense that the Source wants to express, to manifest itself, and so it says, yes, life is mind, the Creator, that is expressed all over the universe of idea, but never in something. And so you have the relationship of Creator and creation, which gives us that sense of life, the Creator. Can you see how interesting and how exact Mrs. Eddy writes? When she begins that paragraph, that point four, she says, God is divine life. Now, I have said in the whole 8 points of the word, her great point is life, 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 the word of life. But at the beginning of point one, where she had to depict the word as the word, she says that God is the only life. See, defining the nature of God. But the moment she brings in the Christ touch, like at point four, then she says God is divine life, because divine always expresses the Christ sense. So she brings in God is divine life. She doesn't say here God is infinite life, because she has to show the expressing sense of the one life, the Christ sense of that one life. And so she says God is the divine life, and explains that divine life as always expressing itself unrestrictedly, that life's creation is never in something, that it is never absorbed in something, but that it is always in the infinitude of being reflected. So life is mind, the Creator reflected in his creation. Can you hear the tone of the Christ expressing itself? It creates this Creator and reflects itself without beginning and without end. Okay, we always go back to the main line, so finally you will hear the rhythm. You just have to be patient with yourself, and at the beginning you get a bit muddled, it's too much words, and little by little the tone just flows through. What have we gained up to now? Just if we take those 4 points, just reduced to where does word, where does Christ? Where does word says, I'm the infinite life. I'm the infinite life, and I declare myself. See, that's what the word has to do. It has to declare itself. And it says, I declare myself through my own revelation of life. All right. Where does the Christ says, you declare yourself through an expression of it. That's the Christ, the expression of it. And so it says, yes, my expression of it is always of the divine nature. It's always good. And so evil is obsolete. And that divine expression of that divine life is always a creation of life, an infinite creation of life, nothing else, without beginning, without end. Do you hear the tone already now? Where does word? Where does Christ? And so we come further to the word as Christianity, and we can calculate spiritually ourselves, really, what Mrs. Eddy must say. If she follows the system of the 4x4 platform, then we can calculate that now she must show the point of word, again, the God's nature, but now with a touch of Christianity, showing that God's nature is reflected in the whole universe, because we said Christianity has always that focal point of the universe, so that we would have to see that God is not just a noumenon, a cause, a creator, but that it includes a creation, so that God must include a creation, which he hasn't said up to now. See, in the word as the word, it's only said, I am the only life, and I'm going to reveal myself. It hasn't said anything about the creation. The word as Christ has said, and I'm going to express myself. And I'm going to express myself as a creation, but has not yet shown what that creation is. Now she comes to Christianity and says, look here, that word has a creation, and it includes it. It's not somewhere outside, because I'm still the one life, the one God, and there is nothing beside me, therefore I must include my creation. Now let's see how she says it. My epitome that I have given here already shows, if that epitome is right, God is all in all. Do you have that epitome? Word as Christianity. God is all in all. Can you see word as Christianity in that short sentence? God is all, capital A. God is always the capitalized term. It's the all. But that all has had an idea, creative sense. Word as Christ. And that is, so it brings out something. What does it bring out? The allness of creation. So that second all is a small a, because it symbolizes the realm of ideas, not God himself. So in that sense of God, of all, word in Christ, all, small a, Christianity, we have a whole picture of the word as Christianity. So that we can already see here that here she must bring out, so to say, the allness of God. And if you read those two paragraphs through, one is captured by that very point very quickly, that term all and all-inclusiveness just comes up again and again. She speaks here, just to have the overall tone without going into point 5 and 6, just listen to what she says on those very few lines in regard to the tonality of the allness. She speaks about God is all in all. Spirit in spirit, all is harmony. All is life. Everything expresses him. He's all-inclusive. He is reflected by all that is real and eternal, that he fills all space, that he is omnipresent, that all is spirit and spiritual. Speaks about the allness of spirit, the universal cause. Can you hear the allness? That it is all. Or the opposite, naturally, that therefore next to that all there is nothing. And so also that nothingness of the opposite is brought out. Nothing else possesses reality or existence. There can be no discord. There is no death. There is no other self-existence. Now, can you hear the tone here? That is completely different than in the Word as the Word or in the Word as the Christ. Now you get the allness of the realm, which shows that God includes all, and therefore there is nothing besides that allness. You have that very neatly brought out in point 5, where from the point of view of divine science, which is always that sense of the all-inclusiveness, you have the marginal heading, the allness of spirit, and you can already see the allness. Not God is all. Can you see? It is God in its aspect of Christianity and the allness of spirit. And here she brings out that God is all in all. Therefore, there is only one reality. The only reality which is, she says, is God and his ideas. Can you see that? God and his ideas. She never had ideas before she was just explaining the word itself. And now you have the expression of the effect of God's creation, namely ideas, and therefore here we have mind and his ideas. God is spirit, she says, therefore in spirit all is harmony, there is no discord, all is life, there is no death. Everything in God's universe expresses God. Can you hear that? Everything in God's universe. Isn't that the point of Christianity? You have now the universe of ideas. And it all expresses what? God. So it is the word expressed in Christianity. Can you hear the tonality of it? Little by little. And, point 6 will show this again, but from the level of absolute Christian science, therefore relationship of God to the individual case. My epitome is that God, the universal creator. The moment you have creator, you can see this is no more divine science. This must be absolute Christian science, because creator means relationship to its creation. Is reflected by all that is real and eternal. Therefore, all, can you see all, is what? All is God, spirit, and spiritual. Side mark is the universal cause, and there what she brings here, that she depicts God and then its creation. See the relationship of God and its creation. How? She says God is the universal cause, is the only creator, is the only self-existence, but that God, who is all-inclusive, is now reflected, you have absolute Christian science, reflected by all, small a, that is real and eternal, fills all space, everything in God's space reflects him, and therefore hence all, small a, is spirit and spiritual. Can you see that? Okay.